Amen. I think we just got a tour. Amen. I feel like I've been on a tour. Amen. Oh, boy, I almost got lost in that. I don't mean spiritually lost either. Praise the Lord. It's a reality. And I hope that you realize that. Listen, heaven is real. Amen. The same God that made earth made the heaven that we're going to. And just as sure as you're sitting in your seat and there's a foundation under you and you're here in this place, there is a place. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. Now listen, it's not some figment of man's imagination. It's not just some, you know, some kind of space odyssey. It's a real place. And we're going there if you're saved. If you're saved, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's where I want to be. I want to be where Jesus is. Amen. Now, right now, he's with me. But one day, I'm going to be with him. Amen. Right now, he's living here with me in the person of the Holy Spirit. But one day, I'm going to be living there with him. And you are too if you're saved. And I'm telling you right now, thank you, men. How beautiful heaven must be. Praise the Lord. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Praise the Lord for his goodness. I'm glad the Spirit of God makes that real to us, aren't you? You have your Bible open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I told you last week as we looked at this teaching on the rapture of the church that we were going to be here a couple of weeks, and so I want to give some more thoughts on the rapture of the church. I'm not going to do a whole lot, if any, review, but I do want to remind you that we looked at one point, and that point was the pillars of the rapture. Now, when I talk to you about the rapture, I'm not talking about some denominational belief or some far-fetched belief that man has adapted or that man has come up with. I'm talking to you about a biblical teaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to with me just for a few moments to kind of put your thinking caps on. We talked about last week that Jesus has come. I don't think that there's anybody here. I don't think there's very many people at all that would say, you know, I just don't believe Jesus came to this earth. It is not only a biblical fact, it is a historical fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He walked upon this earth. And he went about doing good. He went about doing the Father's will. And we know what man did with God's gift. Man took Jesus and abused him and beat him and bludgeoned him. Now, Jesus said that he came to lay down his life. So please don't think that Jesus could not have done something about that. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have spoken a word, one word, and all of that been taken care of. But please understand something. It was not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was not the threat of a man. It was not the threat of a nation, Rome. But it was the love of God that was in him. It was you and I that was on his heart when he was on the cross. And that's why he endured suffering as he did, so that he could pay the price of eternal salvation for every person that would trust him. Now, I want you to notice with me something that happened. We talked about last week how that Jesus came the first time. That same Jesus now is coming back. He is. But he's not coming back in the supernatural way that he came the first time. Now, his coming is going to be supernatural, but he's going to come back not only in a different way, but for a different purpose. The first time he came to give his life, 1 Timothy 2 says, a ransom for many. And the reason for that is it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every man to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And because Jesus came the first time, died on the cross, not for his sin, he did no sin. He died for your sin, for my sin, and 1 John 2 says, for the sin of the whole world. But now that same Jesus is coming back. He is. And when he comes this time, he's not coming as a lamb, he's coming as a lion from the tribe of Judah.
And he's coming to get you, and he's coming to get me if you're saved. Well, Paul, the apostle that was saved on the road to Damascus, when he met this Jesus that I talked to you about this morning, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it changed his life. Can I tell you, when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it changes your life. Amen. You cannot have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ without it changing your life. And I'm not talking about just a little. It's a radical change. Amen. Jesus changes everything about you. Now, it may not happen overnight. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a progress. It's a process. And so Jesus spoke to Paul. He met with Paul. He saved Paul. He called Paul to preach the gospel. Paul went to a town called Thessalonica, he and his missionary team. And while he was there, he preached the gospel and people got saved. And he wrote a letter back to them. And that's why we're in 1 Thessalonians. We've been going through this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to them. And they had a concern that he had heard about. And he addresses that concern a little more in detail in the second letter. But there's a hint here of some of the concern that they had. And if you'll look at verse 13 again, this is a concern that they had. Paul said, "For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." You see that? Now, here's what they were ignorant of. "Concerning them which are asleep." He said, "I don't want you to misunderstand when I talk about Jesus coming back to get you. What's going to be or what's going to happen to those that have died prior to him coming back? What if you're not alive when Jesus comes again?" And some of these folks, listen, they were worrying. They were saying, "What about our loved ones? Are they going to be part of this gathering?" And we talked about that. Now, I want you to notice this. This is the main position on this teaching. Yeah, if you would, just get that and give it to Sharon. She'll take care of it. It's just bills, or you can keep them yourself. It's a, amen. Amen. Yeah, give them to Meredith. Amen. Yeah. See what comes, it just comes natural for men to start handing their wife their bills. Amen. Pay these. Make sure I ain't got nothing else in here that needs to come out. All right, let's get back on track here. So the Apostle Paul wrote these people and he said, "I want to discuss with you what happens to your loved ones who have preceded you in death." Now, there's no one in here, I don't think, that would say, "Well, that wouldn't apply to me." If you're saved, you no doubt have someone that you love that has passed on and left you here. Could be someone very close, could have been a close family member, a distant family member, a good friend, a neighbor. Well, this is what Paul was writing them about. As a matter of fact, when the apostle begins to talk, he doesn't give us the whole view of the rapture here. He gives us a view, and I find this very interesting, and I want to spend a little time here because I just find it very interesting. What Paul was doing here is more... Now listen carefully to me. It's more pastoral than it is doctrinal. Now it is doctrinal. But I want you to notice what he does here. As a matter of fact, the three key times that Jesus coming back to get his own is centered around trouble. Let me show you what I mean. I want you to write this scripture down. In John chapter 14, Jesus talking to his disciples. I told you last week that someone said that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 is almost an exposition of John 14, 1 through 3. It's amazing how you can line them up. Now, here's what happened. In John 14, Jesus said this. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, I know I skipped a verse or two, but I'm coming back to that. And he said, "And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself." He wasn't just talking to anybody. He was talking to his disciples. "I'm coming for the saved. I'm coming for the believers." You remember how he began that conversation with them? "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me." When you read the previous chapters, Jesus had been telling them that he was going to be leaving and that he was going to die for the sins of the world. And it troubled the disciples, and he said, listen, because I care about you, because I'm the good shepherd, because you're part of my flock, he said, I want to give you some comfort. And so when Jesus gave that exposition, when he gave that doctrinal truth, he did it out of care for his disciples. He said, I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want you to be afraid. And then Paul, when he wrote here in 1 Thessalonians, he said, look at it again in verse number 13. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now look at the next phrase, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. And he says, so I want to teach you something that's going to give you some comfort in your time of loss. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul said this when he was writing to the church at Corinth. There were those there who were very disturbed. They had questions, and there were even some that were saying that there's no resurrection. And Paul, he said, how say, if Christ be risen from the dead, how say they some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? And he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. And so he began to talk to them about the rapture of the church. And so the three main passages of Scripture that talk about Jesus coming to get us is centered around trouble in our hearts, care in our soul. You see how much God cares about us? God said, I want you to know that this world is not your home. I want you to know that this is not your forever place. Now, I just have to be transparent here. I've got it good. You're looking at a blessed man. And I believe I'm looking at some blessed people. We have it good, brethren. But yet, as good as life is, as good as God is to us, Jesus said in this life, in John 16, he said, ye shall have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then he shows us in his word, when you get bogged down in this old world, when you think that life is just getting the best of you, when you wonder what is going on, just remember, this world is not your home. You're just passing through. And he began to take that caring, loving approach to letting people know, you're pulling out of here one day, all right? And I want you to keep that in mind this morning. I don't know that what there may be somebody either in this sanctuary this morning or that has joined us, YouTube, live stream, Facebook, I don't know, to where they're just thinking, I just don't know how much more I can take, preacher. I mean, I'm at the end. I don't know how much more I can take. If you're saved in the grace of God, I want to tell you what the Bible says. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your care upon him. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. And he's coming for you one day. He is. Jesus is coming back, brethren. That same Jesus now, in like manner as the disciples saw him go, he said, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back to get my own. If you'll notice, the Apostle Paul said, I want to address a situation here with you about people that have preceded us in death. And that's what he begins to do. You know, I have some loved ones that have gone on. And as I look across this congregation, you have too. I know because I was there, or I heard, and I shared your sorrow with you as you have shared your sorrow with me through the years. Now, the Bible said that it's not that we don't sorrow. Any person, listen, it's natural to sorrow when we lose a loved one. But we sorrow not as others which have no hope. You see, some folks don't have hope. They think they're saying their final goodbye. And they think, you know what, I'll never see my loved one again. I am so thankful in my soul that we who are saved never have to say goodbye. It's just good night. I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you again. Aren't you glad it's that way? That's why he said, if you'll notice in chapter 4 and verse number 13, he said, concerning them which are what? Not dead, asleep. And not their soul, Because we're going to see in just a moment where their soul goes when they die, if they're saved. Now, the Bible says this. He keeps talking about those that have gone to sleep, those that have died, those that have preceded them. He mentions it in verse number 13. He said, I want to talk to you, what? Concerning them which are asleep. You see that phrase? I have it marked in my Bible because he mentions them over and over again. He said, this is your concern. I want to address your concern. I want to be specific. He said, I want to address your concern. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, here it goes, even so them also which what? Sleep in Jesus. He said, I want to tell you what's going to happen to them. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which what? Are asleep. He said, I want to address this concern that you have. Can I tell you that God has answers? Amen. God has answers. God's word has answers. Man will never figure this thing out. Not on his own. We need the word of God to help us to figure this thing called life out and life after this life. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. He said this. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Here it is. And the dead in Christ, that's that group, shall rise first. Then he mentions it again in verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with who? Them. Who's them? The dead in Christ. And so he said, I want you to know that God is going to take care of that situation. God has a plan for them. And so we talked about the pillars, and the pillars are this. Verse 14, the death of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died, because number two, he rose from the grave, and because verse number 15 says, because by the word of the Lord, Jesus is coming back. Not because this preacher said so. Please listen to me now. Please listen to me. Not because I said so. Jesus is coming back because this book said so. And this is the word of God. And so the same Jesus that we'll be celebrating in December is coming back one day. That same Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back with a plan. And so we're going to move from the pillars of the rapture to the participants. Say, well, one day Jesus is going to come back and every person is going to be called up and we're all going to stand before God, and those that have done good are going to go to the right-hand side, and those that have done bad to the left-hand side, and those that have done good is going to go into life everlasting, and those that have done bad are going to go into eternal condemnation. Well, you know what? That's kind of the way it is, but it's not the way it is. Paul said, I'm going to tell you the way it's going to be for the church. Notice again the wording. Who is going to be a part of the rapture? There's two main groups of participants or persons, and please notice them with me if you would. The scripture says this in verse number 15. For this we say unto you, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, please notice this next phrase, will God bring with him. Now, if they're asleep, they've died, they've been buried, is God in the grave? There's no such thing as soul sleep. You understand that? But because it says here that God's going to bring those that have died in Christ with him. Is that what the scripture says? How did they get there? Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so when you die as a believer, your body is going back to the grave. That's right. And that's called asleep. Because God's going to wake you up one day. Amen. God had to wake me up this morning. Amen. Some of you, it takes a supernatural act to wake you up. That's right. Does me sometimes. But one day God's going to call out, and those that are saved, now listen to me, are going to come up out of the grave. You say, oh, preacher, do you believe that? You better believe I believe it. I believe it because the word of God said so. I believe Jesus Christ died and was buried. Now listen to me, and resurrected from the grave. Amen. That's what separates Christianity from every religion on the face of the earth. There's only one Savior, brethren. One Savior who has conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And that is Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says here, if you'll notice in verse number 14, it says, them will God bring with him. He said, now for this we say unto you, verse 15, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So here's the two participants. If you die in Christ, not if you die, if you die in Christ, if you die as a believer, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you pass on before he comes, you're going to be called up first, your body. He's going to bring your spirit, and your body's going to be right there, meet him in the air. We, which are alive and remain. Now, by the way, that's called corruption in 1 Corinthians 15, putting on incorruption. Amen. And then we, which are alive and remain, that's called mortal, putting on immortality. We're going to be caught up together with them. I hope you understand that. It could happen today. You said, that sounds fantasy. That sounds like a fable. It's a supernatural act of God. What if it were to happen today? Well, there's no way, someone may say, that this could happen today. You can't prove it's going to happen today, preacher. You're right. And you can't prove it won't. It's God's timing, not mine. And so we find out, number one, the pillars. What are the pillars of this teaching on the rapture? Well, it's the death of Jesus. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the word of the Lord. It's the revelation that God gives in his word. And then we see the participants. Who are the participants? The dead in Christ, and we which are alive and remain, the living in Christ. Notice, if you would, with me, the latter part of verse number 16. The Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You see that? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So those are the participants. The dead in Christ and the living in Christ. It's those that are in Christ. It's we who are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Now we move from the pillars, then we move to the participants. It's the saved, we who are in Christ. And now we're going to see what he says about the plan. How's all this going to happen? Well, I find it very interesting that Paul mentions in verse number 16. And some people say, well, you know, Paul, he said we. Do you think Paul thought Jesus is going to come back in his lifetime? Absolutely. Absolutely. Paul said we. He was including himself. He lived like Jesus could come any day, just the way the Bible says we ought to live. I ought to live every day like this could be the day that Jesus comes again. Now, Paul did leave some room for, you know what? He said, I may die. And he said, if I do, well, then Jesus is going to raise me up. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6. Would you turn there in the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Paul actually made that statement. He said, I may die. I may be alive. Can I tell you, that's my position. I may be alive when Jesus comes. I may not. But either way, I'm going to heaven when Jesus comes back for his own. Whether I go with the dead in Christ or whether I go with the we which are alive and remain. If you're saved, you are too. Now, Paul said, we which are alive and remain. There were many times that Paul put himself in the category of those that were going to go in the rapture as the living in Christ. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, look at verse number 14. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. He said, the same power. Now listen to me. That God raised up the Lord, Jesus Christ, that same power is going to raise us up if we die in Christ. That's what he said. And so Paul said, you know what? Whether I live or die, he wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, whether I live or die, he said, you know, I just know I'm going to heaven. He said, I know that I'm going to heaven. And if God leaves me here until he comes, I'm speaking of myself, I'm speaking of you, it's because he has a purpose up to the time he comes. If God calls me home, he's through with me here on this earth, and he's through with you. Now let's go back and we'll close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the plan. How's all this going to happen, preacher? How are we going to get from where we are to where we're going? How's that going to happen? Well, Paul tells us. As a matter of fact, I find it very interesting that Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. If you look at that word mystery, in 1 Thessalonians 4, look at verse 15. He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul got a revelation. And he said, it's a mystery. It's a truth that has not heretofore been revealed. He said, I'm going to break down some things for you of what God's going to do moving forward with we who are believers, how he's going to get us to heaven. We've got to get out of this world to get to the next one. Amen. Amen. And God said, I have a plan for that. Would you like to see what God's plan is? You say, I already know it. Well, look at it again. Because it sure is good to know that God has a plan for me, not only in this life, but after this life. And so the scripture says here in verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And I'm just going to make a few comments about these and then we'll close the service today. I want you to listen very carefully. Jesus is not sending an angel to get me. Jesus is not sending a host of angels to get us. Angels are and will be associated with Jesus' second coming. When you study the ministry of the Lord Jesus, it is interesting to see how angels played a role in his ministry. They were there at his birth. They were there when he was being tempted. Angels ministered to him when he was tempted those 40 days and 40 nights of Satan in the wilderness. They were there when he was arrested. They were there when he was tried. They were there when he was crucified. They were there when he resurrected. They're the ones who said, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. They were there at his ascension, two men in white raiment, as he went up. They said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? Can I tell you they're going to be involved when he comes again? They are. But not to get us. Paul said right here, look at it. He said, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. What is that shout, preacher? What is that shout? I don't know what it is. Some have suggested it's come up hither. Some have suggested it's come forth. I don't know what it is. I know this. There's three times that I can find, and maybe you can find other times, where Jesus raised his voice and shouted out. Here's one of them. When he shouts, the graves open up. Remember when he was crucified and he shouted on the cross? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible says when he shouted out, it is finished, that the graves opened up and many of the Old Testament saints came out. The Bible says that he shouted at Lazarus' tomb, Lazarus, come forth. And the grave opened up. I think there's a significance here, though I can't be absolutely sure, but I just think that when Jesus shouts, it's going to have something to do with the graves opening up and us going up. Amen? If we are dead in Christ. Now, then he said this in verse 16. Look at it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is very interesting. With the voice of the archangel. Now, what's the voice of the archangel? Who is the archangel? You say, well, there's three. Well, the Bible never says that. So, well, there's Gabriel, and there's Lucifer, and there's Michael. The Bible nowhere says that. Some people believe that. There's only one named archangel in all the scripture, and that is Michael, the archangel. You know what Michael's primary ministry in the Word of God is? Michael's primary ministry in the Word of God is the guardian of Israel. You read Daniel, you read Revelation chapter 12, you read where Michael has a He has a presence. He has a ministry. Now, why would there be a shout when Jesus comes after he comes and gets the church, why would there be a voice of the archangel? You know who Jesus is going to deal with when we leave here? Somebody say it with me. Israel. You say, well, isn't he already dealing with Israel? Listen, they've been set apart. Blindness, in part, has come to Israel for a season. God's dealing with sinners right now. Amen. And he is gathering a Gentile bride. One day the last person is going to be saved, brethren, and we're leaving this world. I want you to know that this is so. And when the last person is saved and the bride of Jesus is complete, Jesus is going to come and get us. And the dead in Christ arise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. The Lord himself, in verse 16, is going to do that. But it's going to be accompanied, look at it again, with the voice of the archangel. A lot of things are going to be set in motion at that time. The time of Jacob's trouble and the tribulation that shall come upon this world that has never, there has never been a time like this time, Jesus said in Matthew 24, that's coming. Then look at the next thing that's going to happen. I thought about this at the end of September, the 1st of October, the Glory Days class is going to Sight and Sound. This is a real sight and sound here, Brother Allen. Boy, what sight and sounds this is. Sounds of trumpets, sights of archangels, the Lord coming back. I mean, this is the real sight and sound right here. And the scripture says this. It says this in verse number 16. It says, not only would there be a shout, there'll be a voice of the archangel, the shout from Christ, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Well, I tell you, trumpets. What do you know about trumpets? We have Michael, who is associated with Israel. Did you know trumpets? When you look back at the children of Israel, trumpets were used for gathering people. Trumpets are used to make special announcements. Trumpets were used to gather people for special festivals and celebrations and worship and even war. So I think it has something to do, without a doubt, to the things that will surround the second coming of Jesus. And then it said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see that word comfort? It's the same word that we get paraclete or parakletos, which is a word for the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Spirit of God is in you. If you're saved, now please listen to this. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And when you read words like this, I told you that when Paul wrote this, when Jesus spoke this in John 14, when Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 15 and here in 1 Thessalonians 4, he spoke more from a pastoral heart. Now, there's certainly doctrinal truth, but he's saying, listen, I want you to take comfort that you don't live and die, then it's over. He said, when you got saved, listen to me now, God put a person in you, the Holy Spirit, and he's like a homing pigeon. 1 John 5:9 says, if we believe the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. I have the witness on the inside. There is a tug in me. I don't know about you. Like when those men were singing, as a matter of fact, man, would you come back? I want to hear that again. When those men were singing this just a few moments ago, there was something kind of tugging upward in my heart. I can be sitting in my study alone reading the Word of God, and there's just kind of this tug in my heart in an upward direction. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's real, brethren. It's real. You know why? Well, I have the witness on the inside. The Spirit of God's going to take me home one day. You say, preacher, how do you get to heaven? Well, I know how. I know the way. It's through Jesus Christ. I don't know that I could take you there. I could tell you how to get there, but I'll tell you somebody who is going to be able to take me there. I know that exact place where they're going to be meeting in the air. All of us that are saved, we're going to be meeting in the air, brethren. You say, where's that going to be? Well, the driver lives in my heart. Amen. Jesus is going to, the Spirit of God is going to take me right where Jesus is, just like a homing pigeon. It's going to take me straight up. That's right. I hope you understand. They say, preacher, can I really believe that? If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, remove thence into the sea, and it will remove. Do you have faith this morning? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? Do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Are you living in such a way that you are waiting for him to come again? Looking for him with great expectation. I trust that you are. The Bible says we need to comfort one another. You know what the Old Testament saints used to, old saints used to do, even right on up into the New Testament, all the way forward to just not long ago. We've quit doing it. Come on up, men. We've quit doing it. What is it, preacher? There was a time when Christians would meet each other and they would say a word. Now we ask people, how are you doing? Which is kind of a mistake. Where are you headed? You know what the old saints of God used to say? Maranatha! When's the last time you've heard a greeting like that? Maranatha! The Lord cometh. You know why? Because they were living for more than where you're going or how are you doing. They were living looking for Jesus to come. God help me to do that. God help me to live in the light of his soon return. God help you to do that. Maranatha. Men, would you sing that? And then after that, this will kind of be our altar call. Okay? If you'd like to come and pray, you just come and pray while they sing. And then after that, we'll have baptism. All right?